go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you are listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
And you can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as your parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Now we want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time. We have just launched a new series that is near and dear to our hearts. And our new series is Rebuilding and Renewing the Catholic Family as the Domestic Church.
Yes, it is, Leslie. We have a lot of passion about this based on a lot of our own experience as a family, right?
That is correct.
So in these broadcasts, we'll be pulling together the Sacred Scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the Church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. We will discover that rebuilding and renewing the Catholic family as the domestic church will be critical both to rebuilding the Catholic faith here in America, as well as placing our families, and this is so important, in the Lord's holy presence for blessing, protection, nurture, and stability.
That's right, Peter. In our past two programs, we began to lay the groundwork by sharing some wonderful insights from the Old Testament. We talked about some scriptures in the New Testament. We cited the Church Fathers, the Catholic Catechism, and finally, we landed in Vatican II. Mm-hmm. And Peter, as we continue today in this first segment, I think it would be important to go back and highlight some of the key ideas we introduced last week, because they're very, very important.
I think so, yes.
We discussed a little bit about Vatican II and why the perspectives of St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict are so important. We learned that Vatican II was instrumental in reinstating a vision of the family as the domestic church. Mm-hmm. Now, just as a refresher, we did learn that the teaching of the family as the domestic church really had been introduced by our church fathers.
Yes.
But then it was abandoned for some reason for thousands of years. It seems like the emphasis at that time or during that period of time turned more towards the achievement of holiness through the consecrated religious. So there was a much more of an emphasis on that.
Right.
So the Council at Vatican II brought forward from the writings of those church fathers the description of the family as the domestic church. And Peter, why was this such an important statement that came out of Vatican II? What was the Council ultimately trying to accomplish?
Well, I think the perspective on Vatican II is important for us to see, and that was recently laid out for us, Leslie, by George Weigel in an important presentation that he did. He was the biographer, of course, of Pope St. John Paul II. And remember, 4 weeks ago, Weigel gave a presentation in the Diocese of Lafayette, Indiana. And at that presentation, he was promoting his new book, called To Sanctify the World, The Legacy of Vatican II. And he made a point that was, a real key takeaway for you and me. He pointed out that Vatican II was called to address a culture that had drastically changed since the Council of Trent. And he quoted St. John Henry Newman back in the 1870s, where Newman said that the church faced a world that had become irreligious. And from there, modernity cut itself off from its historical roots. Weigel went on to point out that God raised up two historical papacies, that of John Paul II and Benedict XVI, that provided an interpretive key to Vatican II and to help clear up some of that confusion and misinterpretation that followed Vatican II. I share this insight today because we're all using these key insights from these two popes into what makes the family the foundational institution God designed it to be.
Well, we've been learning that the family was a major focus for John Paul II, and he frequently addressed issues directly connected with family life. And I can see that he too, Peter, was concerned about how our culture had become irreligious.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
the family's been under such tremendous attack
mm-hmm.
in
exactly.
our modern times.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter, where can we find his most important insights?
So his essential teaching on the family is found in his work entitled Familiaris Consortio, which translates the fellowship of the family. I love that word fellowship, and it means the fellowship of the family. This exhortation is fundamental to John Paul II's approach to marriage and the family. I've realized that many Catholics have a general idea of what our faith is opposed to in the area of marriage and family, but few of us seem to know really what it's for, and St. John Paul II helps us to see in this exhortation what we are for and what we stand for.
Well, last week, Peter, you presented a wonderful summary of his teachings in order to help us all begin to understand this foundational theology of the family, which he laid out. And you covered three essential concepts of the family, and I think it would be great if we could talk about those again a little bit. We talked about the family as, number one, the foundation of life, number two, the source of God's tender love, and number three, the family as the domestic church. So, Peter, what are some of the points that you want to refresh us on?
Yes, let's make a quick review of those, Leslie, because they are important. First of all, he said that the family is a foundation for life. Especially during the early years of life, the Pope said, parents symbolize God to their children. In his teaching on the value of human life, he said, within the people of life and the people for life, the family has decisive responsibility. And then he went on and used this phrase, Leslie, the parents are co-workers, as it were, interpreters when they transmit life and raise it according to the fatherly plan. In other words, he said, parents make God real to the child. I really like that idea.
Oh my goodness, that's such a powerful statement. Parents make God's real to the child. I've heard it said that parents are God with skin on it.
Yeah.
And he also, in this section, addresses parents as the first evangelizers of their children, and that how we're supposed to embody the gospel love in all of our daily words and actions.
Right. Secondly, the Pope said the family as the source of God's tender love. And there, Leslie, he's bringing out the point that the parents' call is to guard, reveal, and communicate love within the family. And he said, if that fails to happen, it probably will never happen any other place.
Okay, John Paul does repeat this theme again in a letter to families. He did this in the International Year of the Family in 1994, and he talked about how parents are charged with communicating the tender love of God to their children. And this is why the family remains a social institution that can never be replaced. It is the sanctuary of love, and it does this through love. A sanctuary of life, and it does this through love.
That's right, Leslie. Well, we're going to continue to talk about St. John Paul and what he brought to us concerning the family. But now we're going to take a short break. And when we return, we'll look at three other major themes of Pope John Paul II's apostolic exhortation on the family. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
You're invited to join area pro-life organizations now through April 2nd for 40 Days for Life. Groups and individuals will pray in front of Planned Parenthood at 86th and Georgetown Road. Slots are available each day for parish groups, individuals, or anyone who wants to peacefully pray for an end to abortion. If you'd like to volunteer, visit 40daysforlife.com/Indianapolis. That's 40daysforlife.com/Indianapolis or call 317-372-0040.
Take Catholic Radio Indy's 40 Days of Lent Challenge. During Lent, listen to at least 1 hour of Catholic radio each day. If you're already a daily listener, add an hour each day or pick a different time to listen. Or, if you really want to go all in, listen exclusively to Catholic Radio Indy from now until Easter. Spend 40 days with Catholic Radio Indy and see what a difference 100% Catholic programming 24/7 makes.
A place where God's message is heard, where His love is demonstrated, and His grace discovered. Listen and experience hope wherever you are in life. Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today, we're bringing to you, our listening audience, an exciting and critical series of broadcasts. We're exploring the call to rebuild and renew the Catholic family as the domestic church. As Peter mentioned earlier, this has been a lifetime concern for us, and this series is going to have some theological foundations as well as some practical input for you, our listeners. We're discussing historical things, biblical, theological, and spiritual underpinnings of the Catholic family, as well as practical ways to rebuild family life as the domestic church. Peter, John Paul II and his apostolic exhortation, Familiaris Consortio, is helping us lay that groundwork. What are some other key points from his writings on the family as the domestic church?
That's right, Leslie. So indeed, his third point was the fact that the family is the domestic church, as we've been talking about.
A church in miniature, right?
That's right. I love that phrase that he used, the church in miniature. There's a strong affirmation of the family's identity and purpose. He is saying that the family itself is a church according to its own way of life. It may be messy, chaotic, noisy, and disorganized, but still, like the Pope said, it's a church in miniature.
Okay, well, let's go on, Peter, and talk about the Pope's fourth point, which is parents minister to their children. It's a ministry, isn't it?
Yeah, this is such an important point. They all are, Leslie, and this is so important also, the fourth point being parents minister to their children. The Pope greatly respects the role of Christian parents in the life of the church. He challenges them, and he says this, Leslie, by virtue of their ministry, there that phrase is, of educating, parents are, through the witness of their lives, the first heralds of the gospel for their children. And let me say, as fathers out there, we fathers look at our families, that's really our seminary. The Pope went on to say, furthermore, by praying with their children, by reading the Word of God with them, and by introducing them into the body of Christ, both the Eucharistic and the church body itself, they become fully parents. And so what a call that we have as parents to be these ministers in our family to our children.
I think this is such an important point to really ponder. We naturally think of ourselves as the parents who physically give birth to our children. But here the Pope is telling us that as parents, we also give birth to their spiritual life as well. And this again reminds us that the family is indeed the domestic church, or a church in miniature.
Leslie, one of the things I love is when I sometimes go to confession and I see fathers going to confession and leading their children into the confessional.
I know. That's a beautiful picture. You've shared that before.
Yes.
Well, I think when we reflect back on our parenting, one of the things that we used was the whole Christmas season as an opportunity to evangelize our children.
Yeah, that was a time to evangelize our kids.
Right, and to be their first heralds of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we did that through obviously observing Advent and having an Advent wreath and reading scriptures every night before dinner. But also on Christmas morning, we did not let our children go downstairs and open their presents until they all came into our room. We read the scripture about Christmas, and we reminded them of the true meaning of Christmas, that Jesus was God's gift to us.
Mm-hmm. Boy, those memories really stick with me too, Leslie. So here again, the Pope extends important church language to include the life of the family. Parents, he said, are the first heralds, like you mentioned, of the gospel to their children. You know, too often, I think, Leslie, we think of evangelization as something done by adults for adults, right? We think about the RCIA programs, which are great, or hospitality events in the Catholic parish, or even like I do sometimes, street evangelization. These are important ways, of course, to bring outsiders into the kingdom of God through the life of the church. But the kind of evangelization that the Pope is talking about here, first of all, starts in the home with the parents towards their children. You know, child development experts, Leslie, know that the first what is communicated to the family, first of all, often sticks with a person throughout their whole life, right? You know, first impressions can be lasting ones, they say. New connections in the brain, once established, are rarely, if ever, altered. They can be built upon and added to, but they can't be totally erased. You know, I can remember like yesterday, when I was a little boy, my mother saying my night prayers to me in bed, and I can remember that like yesterday.
That's right. And she was sowing those wonderful seeds of the gospel.
Right.
Well, one great challenge of our times is alerting Christian parents to the importance of their role as a family evangelizer. And we know many catechists that you've worked with personally at the parish level who have such a great concern for Catholic parents. And we've actually seen at times parents who are dropping their children off for catechesis, skipping Mass, and then returning to pick up their children after Mass. And I know that just breaks your heart to even think about that.
Right.
And the home is where foundational Christian ministry begins. It begins in the family, where the Word of God is first and continually proclaimed, and where one can recognize and experience God's great love.
Amen to that. So now we come to the Pope and a fifth major point that he makes in this apostolic exhortation. And this is interesting, Leslie. The family is the nursery of society and the church. What did he mean by that?
I know, he calls it a nursery.
Right. So the Pope said the future of the world and the church passes through the family. He said we find this principle voice time after time. We are deeply concerned about the direction of history, he said. And as we pass into the new millennium, he again talked about the opportunities to defend the family. He said by establishing the family as the entrance point in personal history, that's interesting, he reminds us that society and the church are tied to the lives of real people.
And real families.
Right, and this is especially explained when he defends the importance of life.
Well, Peter, we should remember that history for this Pope, in fact, was not an abstract concept.
He
experienced major events of history as World War II unfolded in his own neighborhood.
Yeah.
In fact, he had Jewish friends that were taken away to concentration camps.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he experienced then, following World War II, the onslaught of communism. He saw it transform the political life of his beloved Poland. And of course, we all know that he witnessed and was directly involved in the breakdown of communism.
Right.
And while he had no children, no grandchildren, no immediate family to think about, he did have a deep concern and passion for the future of the family. And the family, and he talks about this in some of his writings, that's where he met the Lord through his mother and his father.
Yeah, yes, it was. So again, to him, family was instrumental in forming the future. He said, in the family, we learn the basic skills of relating to others. He said, children learn hospitality and ways to deal with life's challenges. He said, they learn the respect for self and respect for others. And in this exhortation, he said, they learn the value of people, I like this, within and outside their own family. And this is so important, right? They develop ways of dealing with differences. I remember our pastor, Father Ted, said one time that a key virtue for children to learn in family, especially among the siblings, was the ability to share.
Right, because that causes a lot of conflict in the home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We had a fun family rule on birthdays, and that was the one day you did not have to share your birthday present with others. And then after that, they were required to share. And if they didn't share a toy, we put it up in the closet until they were ready to share.
That's right.
Well, it's time for another break, listeners. And when we return, we'll continue to unpack these key components from John Paul II on the family as the domestic church.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're continuing to lay the groundwork for our series that will explore how the Catholic family can become a powerful domestic church. In this last segment, we continued to open up to our listening audience the wisdom of St. John Paul II and how his writings give us a framework. We discussed the next two critical points of becoming a domestic church: parents as ministers to their children, and the family as nursery of society and the church. So, Peter, let's unpack the Pope's next key point in his apostolic exhortation. I can't wait.
Yes, Leslie. So the sixth point in this exhortation is this, and I love this area as well.
Yeah, this is my favorite.
Right. A spirituality of the ordinary. So the spirituality of the ordinary is bringing the Holy Spirit into the daily hubbub of family life. This is certainly has to be a favorite passage in Familiaris Consortio. Pope St. John Paul II is discussing a list of things, Leslie, like this: family prayer. Prayer involves, he said, joys and sorrows, hopes and disappointments. I like this: birth and birthday celebrations, wedding anniversaries of the parents, departures, separations and homecomings, important and far-reaching decisions, the death of those who are near. And all these mark God's loving intervention in family history. What a list.
Yes, definitely. It's a list of everything that goes on in a family.
Yeah, it's constantly happening in our families. I particularly like the mention of departures, separations, and homecomings. That brings so many images to mind. So much of family life is exactly that. Family members coming and going and then coming back again. It's like the family home could easily be seen as a revolving door.
Yes, and I think what the Pope is trying to say is, how do we bring prayer into that ordinary, those ordinary times in our family? And it can really take on a deeply spiritual meaning as we invite the Lord through prayer to come into our family lives. And one of my particular memories is when our son was deployed to Afghanistan. And this was one of those times when we experienced a deepening of our family spirituality. I can't even describe what it's like to know that your son is in a war zone. And our family prayer at that time then was devoted to praying for his protection and safe return. And I will never, ever forget the joy and relief we felt when we met him at the airport when he returned. But we knew his return was a gift of God's mercy to us. And this period in our family life really brought us all closer together to the Lord and each other.
Yeah, it sure did, Leslie. It certainly fills that definition, like the Pope said, departures, separations, and homecomings, for sure. So, yes, the family spirituality is found in our ordinary family relationships. It's relational. Our family prayer is often squeezed in between, as our family was growing up, Leslie, in between homework and sports, right?
And bedtime.
Yeah, I remember sometimes we wouldn't eat dinner together till 9 o'clock at night when all the children were getting home from their sporting events, etc. But we knew that that family time of spirituality around the table was so important. So while parents can hope for moments of silence in the family, constant noise is usually what we get. And Leslie and I always have liked to call this hubbub controlled chaos.
That's right. Or yeah. Happy chaos.
Yeah, right. Parents work to oversee their own spiritual vitality in that family so they can be all these dimensions to their children. Every day we need to come before the Lord, even before we get out of bed, and say, "Come, Holy Spirit." Invoking the Holy Spirit to start every day is definitely called for. The Holy Spirit stirs the air and sanctifies all of these spaces in between all of our family members. And when it's needed, the Holy Spirit intervenes to help, and Leslie also to protect the family, right?
Yes, I think we've shared this before, but we've always prayed for the protection of our family. We continue to do that now and pray for the protection of our children and our grandchildren.
Grandchildren now,
and
too, right?
There was one in particular day where in my quiet devotional time, I was praying for angelic protection of our son, James, who was about 4 years old at the time. And he was upstairs playing in his bedroom. He had a window seat. He sat on his window seat, leaned against the screen. The screen popped out, and our son fell out of a two-story window. Tell me he didn't need angelic protection at that time.
Boy.
Fortunately, we took him to the ER. He landed on his back, and he had a thorough examination, and absolutely nothing was wrong with him. We do believe the angels protected him.
Amen. So the spirituality of the ordinary, as we're talking about, that the Pope brought out, assumes that the family is at times messy, imperfect, noisy, and sometimes facing real crises. There are numerous trials and difficulties in every family,
Absolutely.
Leslie. All families go through struggles and disappointments, including ours, and we've had many. This does not take away from the reality of the family being the domestic church. I know that with us, Leslie, one of our sons struggled with addictions. This was a time of extreme crisis in our family. It was messy. But the Lord brought us together as a family to pray and intercede for his deliverance and healing. And through the grace of God, he eventually was delivered and healed.
Well, let's pray for those families out there that maybe need to hear this word today.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for St. John Paul II and this wonderful apostolic exhortation that gives to us the groundwork to build our families in this 21st century. We invite the Holy Spirit to come upon every family and every family member within our listening audience. We pray that you would equip fathers and mothers to be all that God's called them to be, that the Pope has reminded us of. Father, give us grace and give us mercy to do these things. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, Peter, for that prayer, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and your parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.